Sarah Blackney has given the guidelines to the yogis how to go about a vipassana practice. It is sufficient enough, so Sarah does not need to be any monk. So instead of giving the guidance how to go about a vipassana practice, for the benefit of the yogis, to increase the general knowledge, Seattle will give them one report. Seattle gave the heading as a supportive method for the yogi. So to increase the knowledge of the yogi, Seattle will explain when a yogi is meditating in Vipassana line, Seattle will talk about the two jnana or the wisdom. The first one is named as Yuktika Vipassana jnana, and second is the Nibbana jnana. So, Shara likes to encourage the yogis that as the yogis are taking up the Vipassana practice or in the form of Vipassana, it is like we are taking a step in a long road or a very far, aiming to reach to a very far away distance. So first of all, we have to understand, as guided by the wise people in the olden days, that when one is meditating in Vipassana, our target or the main aim is to reach the Nibbana. As for the Uttudana or ordinary mundane people, if we think about how to reach Nibbana, we understood that it is a very far away destination for us. But for the Vipassana meditators, as we go on practicing and as we come to realize or understood, then one will come to understand that though it is seen far away, but it is really near to us. So, Sarah would like to explain on Yuktika Vipassana Jnana and Nibbana Jnana. Yuktika Vipassana Jnana means for that we have to understand that it is immediate realization of the wisdom as we practice. For example, as we are noting on the rising and falling of our abdomen, then we are coming to understand that this is the matter and this is the mind, as if you have rubbed it within your fingers or you have put it on your palm and one sees very clearly. So likewise, you will see this nature of mind and matter from the phenomenon of rising and falling with your mind very clearly or vividly, as if you put something on your palm and see with your human eye. So this way of presence or immediate realization is called as Yuktika Vipassana Jnana. How we are attaining this Yuktika Vipassana Jnana is by practicing. So we come to understand that this is mind and this is matter. We understood very vividly and clearly from our mind, and also we come to understand that this mind and matter, as we know, it arose and immediately it disappears or resolutes. So in that way, we come to understand the true nature of mind and matter and the arising and passing away of all the phenomena. That way of knowing or understanding through our own practice or through our own experience is called as Yuktika Vipassana Jnana. Sarah explained further on Yuktika Vipassana Jnana. That is the immediate realization or the immediate wisdom you attain through your own practice. So from the beginning of our practice, we are starting to understand with Nama Rupa Jnana. That is, we came to differentiate what is mind and what is matter. And as we proceed on with our practice, then we will be reaching up and up till we reach to a new Lama Nyana that is very near before you attain the face or the area, before you become the area. So in that way, one has to practice diligently. As much as we are practicing diligently, as with the practical understanding in our work, then you come to know this is mind and matter. Not only this mind and matter, we come to understand this nature of the matter and the mind. So we come to understand, for example, the nature of power, the characteristics of what is mind and what is matter. And not only that, as we proceed on with the practice, we come to understand that these mind and matter are always changing and they are impermanent. And because these nature, so-called, as mind and matter are impermanent, we know we succumb to the nature of suffering because they are impermanent. And as they are naturally taking the own accord, and we cannot control, so we come to know the three universal characteristics of mind and matter nature through our own experience in Vipassana practice. So this way of knowledge, from the Nama Rupa knowledge till you reach a new Lama Jnana, that is the highest Vipassana wisdom before you attain the early Arhat. And that step by step of practical wisdom through your Vipassana practice, as you are knowing, is termed as Pusaka Vipassana. So all the stages of Vipassana wisdom are termed as Laukiya Vipassana wisdom or mundane Dhamma wisdom along the line of our Vipassana practice. So as we are attaining the mundane Vipassana wisdom from the bottom to the top, as we are attaining or accumulating step by step, and we are understanding or accumulating these knowledges through our own experience, then in connected with these mind and matter, nature and etc., there are some knowledges will arose in our mind, which is not attaining through our practice. That is through this understanding of Vipassana, it's called Vipassana Jnana, then with our mind, which has to infer to the other nature of the mind and matter through our speculation from our mind, and that kind of knowledge will arose in one. And that is called Numana Vipassana Jnana, or inferential Vipassana knowledge. This inferential Vipassana knowledge will arose as a subsequent effect of your Pusaka Vipassana Jnana. So to develop this Numana or inferential Vipassana Jnana, you don't need to make an effort to develop. But as you accumulate much and more of this Pusaka Vipassana Jnana, or the images on Vipassana wisdom step by step, then in connection with it, the inferential knowledge will arose in you by itself. No need to make an effort to develop this Numana Vipassana Jnana or inferential knowledge. So Sarah explained further on Numana Vipassana Jnana, that is the inferential knowledge. To come to understand, Sarah gave an example like, if you have a flower, for example, a rose in your hand, you know it has a sweet smell. Though you are not looking to the other flowers or the rose on the plant, but you know that by seeing this one flower in your hand, it's a rose and it has a sweet smell, then you come to understand that the remaining flowers on the plant were, or they were also have the same sweet smell. So this way of knowledge is called Numana Jnana or inferential knowledge. So likewise, in our meditation, through Pusaka Vipassana Jnana, that is the immediate realization of our experience, we know thoroughly of this mind and matter plus stages by stages, so about the other mind and matter, though we are not noting or contemplating. But with the inferential knowledge, we come to understand the other mind and matter too will have the same nature. So that way of knowledge is called Numana Vipassana Jnana, or inferential knowledge. So as a yogi, every day in and out, we are always contemplating on the rising and falling of our abdomen. So when we are noting on the rising and falling of our abdomen, what we are doing is we are forwarding to accumulate Pitaka Vipassana Jnana, or the immediate or the practical knowledge to be accumulated in one. So as a primary object in our sitting meditation, we have to concentrate on the rising and falling of our abdomen. So when we note on the rising phenomenon, we focus our mind on the rising from the beginning to the end of the rising phenomenon, as well from the beginning to the end of the falling phenomenon. So in that way, we have been noting and noting all the while long. So as we are noting so, we come to understand the true nature of these phenomena. For example, at times, yogi comes to understand that this rising phenomenon is sometimes long or sometimes short, and sometimes the falling is short and long, or etc., and sometimes large or small, or sometimes its rising and falling nature is rough and cold, and sometimes it is very subtle and smooth. So in that way, you are understanding the nature of the rising and falling phenomenon. Not only that, you are aware of the changing nature of this rising and falling phenomenon. So in that way, a yogi is experiencing the truth or the true nature, what is called as rising and falling phenomenon. And that understanding of the true nature is called as Pitaka Vipassana Jnana. So, Jara explained how we would accumulate Pitaka Vipassana Jnana. As we are noting, then there are of three types. One is we contemplate on the rising and falling of our abdomen. And second is to our mind or sitta. And number three is upa
nipasana.
And as we are noting on the first type of the rising and falling, then we have to follow and note concurrently and carefully from the beginning to the end of the rising and falling. So in many times or several times, as we are noting on the rising and falling again and again and again from beginning to the end, then you would have a self-realization. What it is, that is the kind of wisdom you are accumulating. But at times, however we keep our mind on the rising and falling, our mind didn't stay on it. Our mind sits off elsewhere. So if our mind sits off elsewhere, then we cannot see vividly or clearly the nature of what is rising and falling, and the nature of the phenomenon of rising and falling cannot be seen or understood vividly from our mind. So that is the current we cannot accumulate Pitaka Vipassana Jnana. We cannot attain the immediate realization of Vipassana wisdom. So to attain Pitaka Vipassana Jnana, or immediate realization of wisdom, or the understanding is, as we are focusing on the rising and falling off our abdomen, our noting mind should be concurrent with the phenomenon, as well it should be very firm and steadfast on the object. Not only it should be, our mind should be steadfast on the object, but our mind should also be attentively concentrating on it. Only in that manner, if we are noting continuously time and again, then that will lead a yogi to attain nibbana vipassana yoga. So if we are noting on the rising and falling of our abdomen, however we keep our mind on the rising and falling phenomenon, our mind used to wander, or sometimes we are carried away with our thinking mind or imagination and so forth, so much so that our mind is restless. It is not stable and fixed on the rising and falling. So to that unsteady mind or restless mind, we need to keep our mind steady and fixed on the object. That is, how to keep our mind steady and fixed on the object is upanipatana vimeta. That is, we need to be carefully fixed on the object is none other than the sati. That is the mindfulness. The more we are able to control our focusing mind on the object with mindfulness or sati, then the more you are fixing your mind on the object. So in that way, if you can have a steadfast mindfulness on the object, as it is firm and fixed or steadfast on the object, the more you know, the more you will come to understand the true nature of the rising and falling. Only when you have that kind of steadfast noting and understanding to the true nature of the rising and falling, then that is the time a yogi is leading one's mind to attain the knowledge or the wisdom, what is the real nature in this rising and falling. And that attainment or the wisdom is termed as Kisaka Vipassana Yoga. In this meditation, and we are noting to the primary object time and again with steadfast mindfulness. So, not to let our mind wander off or slip away from the primary object, we should have a steadfast mindfulness of sati. And that sati is termed as upanipatana nimitta. So, for that sati, as much as this sati is becoming stronger or steadfast or powerful, then the more you are noting on the object, the more you are forwarding to accumulate wisdom. So to accumulate the wisdom, there are three major points to nail down in your mind. The first is aramana, or the object. And the second is citta, or our noting mind. And the third is the sati, or mindfulness. If these three divine natures in us are united and contemplating very powerfully, time and again, then we will be accumulating the vipassana wisdom, and that kind of wisdom is termed as Kisaka Vipassana Yoga. To understand more of this Kisaka Vipassana wisdom, Jaro explains further by giving examples in accordance with the literature. So in the literature, the example is shown that on the smooth surface of the ground, there stays a block of wood. So this block of wood is wanted to be cut off by a man. So he put a saw on it, and he is cutting it time and again. So as he is sawing this block of wood, then his main aim is making an effort to cut it off. He didn't pay any attention to the other nature while he is cutting off the block of wood. But as he is sawing to the block of wood with a saw, then sorry. He, at the same time, although he didn't make an acknowledgement how it will happen, but automatically he will come to understand from his knowledge that as he is sawing on the block of wood, then I have cut it off halfway. Now I have cut it off completely into two pieces or three pieces. So, although he is walking or making or aiming his mind on sawing on the block of wood, but as an additional knowledge, he comes to understand that while he is drawing, then he knows the pulling and pushing forward done by his hand or his arm becomes understood. And at the same time, he is aware of the tough edge of the saw is cutting on the block of wood, and he is knowing that it is going deeper and deeper, although he didn't pay attention much on it. So in that way, he understood himself that as the saw is going forward and backward, as he was strong on the block of wood, he knew that he had made an effort to cut it off. So all these measures, although he didn't aim, but his aim is only one. He is forcing his arm forward and backward to cut the block of wood. So in that way, he will be understanding the additional nature as he was sawing the block of wood. And that is very similar to a yogi's mind who is attaining Isakha Vipassana Yana.
Anyway, what can he do?
So, Sarah explained further on Isakha Vipassana Yana. So, as the man who is cutting the block of wood, although he is just sawing on that block of wood, but at the same time, he is knowing the friction or the cutting nature from the tough edge of the saw to the block of wood, and at the same time, he is aware that I have cut it off one block, two blocks, three blocks, etc. So in that way, he is understanding, although his mind is not intending what is the result or what is the connected nature. So likewise, in our meditation too, as we are noting on the rising and falling from the beginning to the end, as we note or focus our mind on the rising from the beginning to end, we are following with our noting mind very carefully. In the same manner too, we note on the falling phenomena. So in that way, we are controlling our mind with steadfast mindfulness or sati. So, with so much so that we won't let our noting mind to swerve off or switch off from the primary object. So one time, we are knowing the nature of rising falling. Second time, we are knowing the nature of, and several times, we are knowing the nature of rising and falling. So in that way, we are understanding this rising falling. At one time, we are seeing as one segment or one continuous nature. Later on, we will be seeing with our noting mind that there are several stages or several segments of this rising falling phenomenon exist. So in that way, we are coming to understand the true nature of the several stages of the rising and falling. And not only that, as we know more so, the deeper knowledge we will come to understand is, as we note on one rising phenomenon, that rising phenomenon, as you are focusing, it disappears or passes away immediately. Likewise, to the falling phenomenon or whatever the object you are noting. So much so that your mind never swerves off or wanders off elsewhere. In that way, you are noting on the formation and passing away of the natural nature of this rising and falling, and you are picking up with the steadfast mindfulness, with sharp mind of the rising and falling nature, how it is forming and disappearing. And also you notice, or you are aware, that one rising. It is immediately severing on that spot, and it won't go any farther away. But the subsequent rising phenomenon will occur likewise, and the next, and you will come to understand the series of the falling and passing away in a very fast manner from this rising and falling phenomenon. That is, as you have the steadfast mindfulness, you are coming to see the true nature or the clear or the vivid nature of this forming and passing away from this rising and falling phenomenon. So this understanding from a yogi is very similar to the man who is on the struggle book. Although he is not paying attention, he is understanding at the same time. I have cut it off one block, two blocks, etc. So in that way, a yogi too, although one is noting on the rising and falling phenomenon of steadfast, yogi is understanding this forming and passing away in a very fast manner from this rising and falling. So this is a kind of hisaka vipassana yana. So, as given in a simile, when a yogi is noting on the rising and falling phenomenon, it is very similar to the block of wood. And the sharp edge or the teeth of the saw is like equivalent to our mind. And the controlling power from the arms of that man is like equivalent to the city of mindfulness. So as for the man who is sawing on the block of wood, that man's nature is equivalent to the yogi who is noting so. So as for a yogi who is noting on the rising and falling phenomenon, as you are noting with the steadfast mindfulness, you would have a self-realization of the true nature of the rising and falling. So if you are understanding with your own experience, then that is the time you are accumulating hisaka vipassana jnana, or immediate realization wisdom. But if you cannot realize with your own experience, then you are not yet accumulating hisaka vipassana jnana. Yara is informing another important factor. As a yogi, as we are noting in vipassana meditation, there is one major mind factor. That is the samadhi or concentration in ourselves. So to accumulate a strong samadhi in oneself is important. And at the same time, we must be aware of what are the dangers to this samadhi or concentration. There are two kinds of danger. First kind of danger is, though the yogi is noting on the primary object or any object, our mind is not fixed on the present object, but our mind goes back to what we have experienced in our past time. So we are reflecting our mind, or thinking, or imagining, and thinking about our past incidences. So if we are thinking about our past incidents from our mind, and if we are carried away with that mental flow, then we have to strike our samadhi or concentration. So that's why, as a yogi, we must understand that this way of thinking or remembering to the past is one kind of danger to samadhi or concentration. Sarah explains the second kind of danger to samadhi or concentration. The second kind is, we are thinking to the future which has not yet happened to you. So although we are keeping our mind on the object, but you have the intention to think what I am going to do in the future, what I will do, make and so forth, you have been imagining and thinking for the future. So as you are thinking for the future and planning and so forth, then your mind is switched off from the primary object or the main object, what you have to be noting. So as this number two is, if a yogi is thinking or planning for the future is another kind of danger to samadhi. So as for a yogi, we must understand that thinking about the past as well to the future, these two kinds are the dangers to samadhi, because we cannot keep our mind to the present moment and we cannot live up with the present condition. So as we cannot live up with the present condition, we have already destroyed our concentration on samadhi. So likewise, when we are doing the walking meditation, so in the walking meditation, as we follow with a lowly mind on one step loading, like right foot, left foot, or if we are loading the three step loading, lifting, forwarding, and stepping down, so through the movement of our foot, our mind is fixing on it, or controlling and loading on the movement of our foot. So, not to let our mind stray off or wanders off from the movement of our foot, then we need to have upa nibbana, that is none other than the city of mindfulness. So if we are following the movement of the foot, fixing with our focusing mind, as well controlled with our city of mindfulness in our walking meditation too, then through that meditation or experience, we will be also accumulating Pitaka, Vipassana, Jnana, or Immediate Realization of Vipassana Wisdom.
Yeah.
Summarization, Chiara says, in our meditation, there are three points we need to nail down in our mind. The first one is the object or the Aramana. So in the sitting meditation, Aramana or the prime object is the rise and fall of our attainment. And second is our focusing mind or sitya or consciousness. And the third is called upa nibbana or the city of mindfulness. So for example, in our walking meditation, the movement or the motion of our foot is the first point, and the mind that is focusing on the movement or the motion of our foot, that is the sitya, is the second point. And the third, upa nibbana nirya, is the city or the mindfulness. So if we can conceive all these three factors together without letting it off, without swaying it off, then if we can notice it, if we pass on with our meditation, then at one time we will be accumulating pitaka vipassana jnana, or immediate realization of self-experience will be accumulated in you, and that kind of wisdom or self-realization will be accumulating and enhancing or growing as we go farther and farther in our practice. So in the end, as we are accumulating more of pitaka vipassana jnana or self-realization through vipassana, in the end we reach to attain ariya jnana, or to the supreme mundane hood, we will be attaining. So to attain this supreme mundane wisdom, Tiara is encouraging all the yogis to try hard. It's a conclusion talk. By saying, like in the example, the man who has joined the block of wood, then as he is doing this work, then he knows to what stage he has reached. He has cut it out halfway, etc. So in that way, he is knowing the height of his walk. Likewise, as a vipassana meditator, as we are noting day by day, and as we are trying very hard and so, then we will be accumulating much and more of pitaka vipassana jnana. So now, Chiara concludes this talk for today, and Chiara is blessing to all the yogis by accumulating much and more of this pitaka vipassana jnana. May you all attain the Ariya Bodhi very soon.